You're listening to 91.5 FM and 102.3 FM. This is Brevard County's home for the very best in contemporary Christian and modern praise and worship music. WMIE.
We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And good day to you, Brevard County. Thank you for tuning in to the Refresh radio program right here on WMIE 91.5 FM. And it was just pointed out to me today is Friday the 13th, and there are a lot of people think, oh no, it's my unlucky day. No, today is the devil's unlucky day. If you're a born-again believer and Jesus is living in your heart and you are set out on the purpose of God, you are going to have devastating effects upon the kingdom of darkness, and you are going to be used to make a positive impact for the kingdom of God. And so don't let the devil steal this day from you as far as your divine purpose. And today is also my day off, so I'm excited about that. So we have been in Matthew chapter 7. We've been working towards the end of our study that has gone on for quite some time on the Beatitudes, and right now we are focusing on verse number 23, and then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. And so we've been looking at that word lawlessness or lawless, and that has our study has taken us to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. And get my pages back in alignment here. Yesterday we were focusing on verse number 10. We'll start reading at verse number 9 and go on down to verse number 12. It says, the coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan with all power, signs, and lying wonders, and with all unrighteous deception among those who perish, because they did not receive the love of the truth that they might be saved. And for this reason, God will send them strong delusion that they should believe the lie, that they all may be condemned who did not believe the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. And so we were talking about how unrighteous behavior disrupts your relationship with God and with your godly relationships. And I shared, you know, I made myself very transparent, and that God had put his finger on that when I was studying and said, hey, you need to deal with an area in your life. And so that is what I did. But as I was preparing to come in today, I was reminded that there can be some relationships that disrupt your relationship with God, and therefore they also would find themselves in that category of being unrighteous. And we'll talk about that a little bit more in some of our studies that are coming up. I believe that our next verses, set of verses we'll be talking about, we'll be talking about the ungodly relationships that sometimes believers have to deal with. And so we'll be addressing that. But I don't want anything to disrupt my relationship with God. And I don't think that you do either. I had a job one time that disrupted my relationship with God. I was 15 and a half, and I was making less than $2 an hour, and it was keeping me out of church. And when you're called to be a pastor, that's not a good thing. And so after two or three weeks of doing that on Saturday and Sunday, so I was going to school Monday through Friday, I was working at this truck stop, washing dishes, sausage gravy, and just all sorts of stuff that wasn't my dream job. I'm just going to tell you that right now. And, so if you figure at 15 and a half, I was probably able to work 6 hours a day, 12. So I was making less than $20 a week. And even though $20 went a lot farther then than it does now, I came to the realization that that wasn't worth, that $20 wasn't worth damaging my relationship with God. I didn't want it disrupting it, and so I quit that job. And I don't regret it to this day. A lot of times when I've had jobs in the past, I don't ever want to do those things again. I had a dishwashing job after I became the pastor of the church. We were needing to supplement our income, and I was a dishwasher as an adult at a local restaurant. Met a lot of fantastic people there, and have treasured relationships from that experience. But whatever it is, don't allow anyone or anything to negatively impact or get you out of alignment with God and out of alignment with God's will. In this case, unrighteous deception is what is going to be used by the lawless one to deceive those who are perishing. So these people are on a path to eternal destruction, and yet they have been deceived to believe that they are on a path that is going to lead them to everlasting joy. That's evil. That's evil. And Jesus talks about that. It's a wide path. It's a broad path. There's a lot of people that are on that journey, not realizing what the end of that journey looks like. And so I tell people, hey, if you are thinking about embracing a certain activity, you might want to take a look and see what the end of that journey looks like. So for me, I had this conversation with my dad recently about things that were never a temptation to me. Cigarettes were never a temptation to me because I grew up in that environment, and I saw what the end of that journey, I saw what emphysema looked like. I saw what needing to be on oxygen looked like because people's lungs had been so traumatized that I said, I don't ever want to do that. Alcohol was never a temptation for me because I had too many family members that it ruined their relationships. I had a relative that died on Christmas Eve because they were in a drunken stupor in wintertime. They slipped and they fell, and they weren't found until the next morning. The same thing about drugs. I saw what the end result of that looked like through some family members and friends that ended up in prison and stuff like that. And so those things just never appealed to me because I saw what the end of the road looked like. So God in his mercy has given to us 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 to let us know the tactics that Satan and the Antichrist, this lawless one, that they are going to utilize, and they're going to use that to deceive people who were created in the image of God, created to spend eternity with God, and they are going to deceive those people into behaving in such a way that their relationship with God is going to be deemed by them to be of no value. And because they deem it of no value, they cast off restraint, they cast off the word of God, they forfeit the grace that could be theirs, and they deem themselves unworthy of the blessings of God. So, let's look at verse number 10 as it continues. And with all unrighteous deception among those who perish, because they did not receive the love of the truth, that they might be saved. So what Paul is writing here to the Thessalonians is that there is hope. There is hope for people who are being influenced by the lawless one. That there's hope for people even when the resources of hell are working with all diligence to try and deceive them through false signs and false power and pseudo wonders and with acts of unrighteous deception. Even then, there is hope for those people if they would do one thing. Okay, say that word with me, one thing. It's actually two words. I do know how to count. One thing. And you say, well, how hard could one thing be? Well, in the Garden of Eden, there was one tree, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, that Adam and Eve were not supposed to partake of. All of the other trees were open. There was just one thing that they weren't supposed to do, and that was the one thing that they did. Now, if there's one thing that you're supposed to do, then that human nature that has been damaged ever since the Garden of Eden, it can cause you to want to do everything but that one thing. And the one thing in this case was that they might receive the love of the truth, receive the love of the truth. And they would not receive the love of the truth. I was in a meeting decades ago. It's literally almost 30 years ago. I went and heard this speaker. He had a mega ministry. I know some people that know him personally. And he talked about that with all of his speaking engagements that he does and with all of the money that he raises and the thousands upon thousands, probably hundreds of thousands of lives that he has touched in a positive way for the kingdom of God, he said, it all stems from the fact that I do one thing well. And you might think it's something really high and lofty and all of that. He said, you know what the one thing is that I do well? I drive a church bus. And he reached kids in New York City with a bus ministry that began when he was a teenager in the state of Florida. He had been abandoned by his mother on a street corner, and somebody found him, brought him into their home, taught him about Jesus, gave them a ministry at the church and said, hey, I will pay you X number of dollars if you can bring a certain number of people into church. And he began to do that. And he said, keep your money. I have found something that I enjoy doing. And that was reaching kids with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so at one point in time, churches had all of these bus ministries, and he was one of the people that really caused that ministry to rise to prominence. And it was because he does one thing well that all of the other doors opened up to him. So with that being said, let me ask you, what is one thing that you do well? I would imagine that if we sat down together, if we began to look at things in the Word of God, if we began to look at your history, we could find the one thing that you do well, that you could use, empowered by the Holy Spirit, to make a great impact for the kingdom of God. So in 30 years at the church, we have had multitudes of people who've cleaned the church. My wife and I have cleaned the church. we've had people who've passed away that they were cleaning the church at one point in time. All three of my children at one point in time cleaned the church. And through the years, I have noticed that there were people with different mindsets to cleaning the church. Because I've done it, I know how long it takes. It takes roughly 4 hours to clean the church. And so I'll just talk to you about my three children. So my son cleaned the church at one point in time, and my wife and I paid him to do that, and he absolutely hated it. He would come in and he would try and knock it out as fast as possible, and you know, he is motivated and driven like that, but you know, he did not do the greatest job cleaning the church. And after, you know, going round and round, and he got a job back when he was 16 that he still has to this day. He's risen to, you know, a level of management in that company. And, you know, he had one attitude to doing his job there and different attitude at the church. And I said, I don't want you cleaning the church anymore. And he literally, you know, thanked me for relieving him of his duties. You know, another daughter came along and she had this, a similar attitude. Let's get it done as quick as possible. And boom, gone. By the time my third, child was cleaning the church, I had a different approach. I said, okay, this is not about the project. This is about your time. And so your mother and I are going to pay you for your time to clean the church. And because of that difference of approach and because of how detailed a person she is, at 16 and 17 and 18 years old, she was doing the best job cleaning the church that had been done before her and since. And now I've had someone that's stepped in to help in that area here over the past few months due to a different situation going on. And she has that same detailed mindset. And so I've told my daughter, I said, I want you to know the person cleaning the church now, she's giving you a run for the money. So there's something that you do that is, you do it with excellence. Now, I've known people that had an area in which they were extremely gifted, and yet they wanted to serve in a different area, and that's all fine, well, and good. But let's not neglect the one thing. Jesus told the rich young ruler who said, you know, I've done this and this and this and this, and I've done it all since my youth. And Jesus said, there's one thing that you lack. And for that young man, it was go and sell all that you've got and give it to the poor and come and follow me. And the anchor of his possessions kept him from doing the one thing of following Jesus. And he went away disappointed because that one thing was something he just could not do. This one thing in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse number 10, is that people need to receive the love of the truth. You not only need to receive the truth, you need to receive the love of the truth. If anything I've learned since doing the radio program, it's that no matter how much I have studied the Word of God and prepared the Word of God and all of that, there's still so much more to learn. There's still greater depths of the truth of God's Word. Beth Moore is a person that I heard her share her testimony one time, and she was sitting in a class, and the teacher that was teaching that particular subject demonstrated that they had a passion for the truth of God's Word. And she said that she went out into her car, and you can look up her story and about all of the trauma and the tragedy of her early upbringing. And when she got to that class and she went out to her car, she prayed and said, God, I want to have the same type of love for your word and for the truth of your word that professor has. And if you've ever been around Beth Moore's ministry, if you've ever watched any of her teaching, you will find that she has a passion for the Word of God and a passion for the application of the Word of God. And, you know, that is what can transition you. The truth of God's Word is this: you're on the road to destruction. Jesus wants you off of that road, and he wants to put you on the path he designed for you. And so he came and died on the cross, a perfect, sinless human being, to pay for the price of your sins so that your sins could be forgiven and you could be reconciled with your heavenly Father, and he can put you on the road that's not going to lead to destruction, but it's going to lead to everlasting life. That love of the truth, if we will receive that, it will result in us being saved. Okay? But you have to receive it. I've got the topic of a book that I would love to write, maybe one of these days I will have my life structured in such a way that I could write it. But it would be on the art of receiving. The art of receiving. A lot of times we are great at giving. Sometimes we're not that great at receiving. Some people are addicted to receiving and they don't know anything about giving. But I can tell you this, that if you and I will not, if we refuse to receive the truth, we're not going to be saved. Your emotions will not save you. Your feelings will not save you. Your popularity or your wealth, the level of influence you have, none of that saves you. It's just the truth of God's word. And I have this written down. It says, when you reject truth, you are left only with the option of believing the lie. There is no other option that is available. Jesus wants you saved. He wants you, he wants to empower you by his Holy Spirit to do the one thing that will get you off the road to destruction and get you on the path of righteousness for Jesus' namesake, the path of life abundant. And so that's where, well, let's just go ahead. We've got a little bit of time here. It says that they all may be condemned who did not believe the truth, but who had pleasure in unrighteousness. And so we've already talked about that, meaning these people not only failed to receive the truth, but they didn't believe it. Verse number 11 says, and for this reason, God will send them strong delusion that they should believe the lie. They don't receive the truth. They believe the lie, don't believe the truth. And as a result, they find their pleasure, their source of enjoyment in all of those things that are going to disrupt their relationship with God, the only one who can save them. Let's not make those horrible decisions. Listen, the end times are coming. Satan is working diligently to try and deceive as many people as possible, disrupt as many relationships as possible, keep people from hearing the truth, keep people from receiving the truth, keep people from believing the truth. Don't let him succeed in your life. Merit Assembly of God, we've been around for a while. We are located on Merit Island. We're on Grove Street, 165 North Grove Street, and we would like to invite you out to our services this Sunday morning. We have Sunday school at 9:30. We have our worship service and children's church at 10:30, and we would love to have you come and be a part of it. I would be honored if you blessed us with your presence and chose to come and serve Central Brevard County with us. We'll see you Monday right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merit Assembly of God in Merit Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merit Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, meritassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to meritassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
What love is this that took my place? Instead of wrath, you poured your blood.